it's been amazing for me because I've felt like I've found something that, one, I really enjoy working with the people that are both on the board and with the school administration and people in the community in general, talking about education and what we need to do and where we need to go. And there's a lot of work to be done. We've got a great district, and we should be really proud of it, but there's, you know, there's still a lot of needs to be met, and those are the things that I'm really interested in working on while continuing to support the good that we already have.
You're doing some other things, sort of extracurricular duties outside the school board on the Alaska School Boards Association.
Right.
And the secure rural schools.
You know, I kind of decided, well, I found out I really enjoyed doing this and meeting other educators and school board members from across the state, and so I got involved with our statewide association and put my hat in the ring to run for the board of directors there, and got on that board in 2008. And then last year, at our annual November meeting, I was elected to the executive committee, which means I start out as the secretary treasurer. Next year, this coming year, I'll be the president-elect and then the president in the third year. And it really gives a great opportunity for me to interact with school board members from around the state. You know, lots of rural board members, folks from Kenai, Anchorage, Fairbanks, all over the state. And then it'll also give me the opportunity to talk to and interact with people around the nation. We'll be attending some national meetings, the National School Boards Association, and one of the pretty unique things is that Alaska is quite an innovator and a leader in terms of many aspects of education and what we're trying to get accomplished. And being able to have some time with the national folks, I'm going to find, I think, very, very interesting. So I'm looking forward to that part of it.
Why is it important for our board and you in particular to kind of continue that sort of effort at networking? I mean, you could just show up once a month, read the packet, and vote.
Yeah, you could, but you know what's? I think what happens is if you do that, if you take that approach where you just say, "Well, I'm," you know, it's just important what I do here locally. The problem is it's not, you know, education and the things that affect education are on a much greater global scale today than they've ever been. So we have issues that are driving, you know, funding predicaments that we're in, all those kinds of things that are driven from the federal government. How do we meet those challenges? How do we meet those mandates if we're not adequately funded? How do we deal with trying to meet adequate yearly progress with the No Child Left Behind legislation? We need to be a voice at the table, letting people know, hey, Alaska is a unique place. We have unique problems. We have unique challenges. And we're not going to fit the mold of the lower 48, no matter where we're at. I mean, some of the urban schools, yeah, they're more similar, but at the same time, they're still Alaskans. They still have unique Alaskan challenges. And a lot of folks down south don't understand that. So, you know, to be faced with mandates that we have to try and deal with that are very difficult, I think it's important for us to be a part of the conversation and let people know that that won't necessarily work for Alaska, and it might not get us where you want us to go. The ideals may be good. The idea that, you know, that we need to be providing a good education for all of our kids all across the state and all across the country is great. That's what we all need to be working for, and I wholly support that. But when some programs come along and enforce or mandate some programs that may have may not be in our best interest, I think it's important for us to voice our concern over that and say, wait a minute, it's not going to work.
I can't think of a truly, you know, controversial, sort of publicly controversial decision that the board has made recently. I know that last year you decided to take some stimulus funding and invest it in technology, and there mm-hmm. might have been a little pushback there. Do you still think that was a sound decision on the part of the district?
I do, yeah. I do think it was sound. I think it's where we have to go. I mean, the rest of the world is going to pass us by. Yeah, there was some very vocal opposition to that, and there still is. And you know, I welcome that criticism. I think that's a healthy thing, that we're always, you know, try to be held accountable for what we do. I may have, you know, a difference of opinion, that whether it's good or bad, I think we are headed in the right direction, and I want to make sure that what we do is something that, you know, in the long term is going to be very beneficial. It's not just a matter of going and buying a whole bunch of new computers or the latest gizmo and try to get it into the classroom. It's a paradigm shift. It's a way of trying to bring technology into the classroom such that teachers will actually be able to use it. They'll get the training they need to incorporate it into their teaching. Be able to have kids network, you know, with each other in the classroom experience. You know, a lot of our kids that are involved in extracurricular activities, as we know, being in Southeast Alaska, they're on the road a lot. And this is one way that I think we can help them in terms of broadening their educational experience and providing the support they need to do well. And you see a lot of kids from other schools that have taken that initiative, and those kids are, you know, they're able to do a lot of their homework assignments online. They get information. So if they're waiting in a community to get out, or you get on the ferry, those kinds of things, they can still be doing and participating in a lot of their schoolwork and various other things. I mean, lots of different opportunities for kids to learn. And, you know, kids today, they're plugged in digitally. They learn differently than you and I did, and they're multitasking all the time, and it's hard for us to imagine how that works. So I think, you know, we have to be able to adapt and change. But again, you know, there's been folks that are critical of that, and I think it's up to us to make sure that, yeah, we need to make sure that what we're doing is a sound strategy. And so far, I think we've done that.
Is the board going to ask the assembly to do further bonding for Blatchley improvement?
Correct.
Has that already taken place?
The assembly has passed the ordinance to put it on the ballot. So that will go to the voters. There are two bond issues, and these are very important. The first bond issue will be asking basically to cover the basic mechanical needs for the renovation of Blatchley Middle School that came in over budget from the original bond that was done several years ago. So we want to make sure that we get that done. So I think we were short about $2.4 million to make that happen. And then we went back through that whole list, and there are a number of other things that really ought to be done to that building, and it would be most cost-effective to do them at the same time because we'll have the insides of the building basically torn up. There's a lot of plumbing issues. The restrooms and locker rooms are not ADA compliant, so the American with Disabilities Act, they're not compliant with that. They're out of date. They're ready to be remodeled. So it would be the most opportune time to do some of those projects. There's a lot of doors that could be replaced. Most of the other stuff that's going to be done is in the heating and ventilation, trying to make that building a lot healthier and more comfortable for folks to be in and to provide a good learning environment for our kids. So it's a lot of major maintenance that needs to be done. But then there's some other things that we felt like at the same time would be really good to do. So those items, which are ones that we would like to see done, we put those in another bond issue question for the voters so that we make sure we try and get the very basics that we want done. And then if that passes and the second bond issue passes, then we could get the whole ball of wax done. But we thought it was most prudent that the voters have the chance to decide, yeah, we can only afford this, or no, it makes sense to do the whole 10 yards.
Something that occasionally comes in front of the board is this idea of school consolidation. Do you think the steep decline has flattened out a little bit in student numbers?
We're hoping that might be the case. It'll be interesting to see what our enrollment looks like at the beginning of the school year this year. You know, last year we saw actually a slight increase in enrollment, and that's certainly not what we were expecting. But it may have been an artifact of the economy being so sour everywhere else that a lot of people simply couldn't afford to leave town. Whether or not that remains true, and that our economy is, you know, better than other places, and folks still feel like it's they stand a better chance to stay here in Sitka. I'm hoping that's the case. I'm actually anticipating that, you know, maybe it'll stay, enrollment will stay the same, or it may decline somewhat. I wouldn't be surprised if we see that, because I think in general we're going to continue to see a general decline in enrollment as years go on. You know, the populace of Sitka is aging, and we don't see as many new families moving into town. And it's, frankly, it's more expensive. You know, housing is a big impediment to that because of the cost of housing. So to bring new families in and have them have it be affordable for them presents a real challenge for us. So I think in the long term we'll continue to see some decline in enrollment. I hope that it will level out somewhat. But in terms of school building consolidation, we would really have to see a pretty massive reduction in enrollment. I mean, we're still having to do some things within the buildings to accommodate programs. And one of the things that makes it more difficult, I was mentioning some of these federal mandates, things like kids with IEPs and dealing with special needs students. There's a lot of requirements, both from the state and federal level, that say, you know, you need to do these things. And we have to accommodate those within our program. And that often might mean that we have to remodel some rooms. And I know we've done that over at Keet Gushaheen to provide the places where those IEPs can be conducted and the consultations and all those things can happen. So that takes up some general classroom space. And so I think over time you see these things evolving, and it means that we have to evolve the buildings with them, and it doesn't always mean that we could consolidate things. So to get to the point where we would consolidate a building, I think we'd have to lose, quite a few students yet. I know there's some question about, well, what about Pacific High School? Could we consolidate Pacific High School with something, or could we move Pacific High School into the SEEK Center? Those were some concerns by a couple of the assembly members. You know, is it worth renovating Pacific High? Well, I say it is. One, the cost of demolition or maintaining that old building may be equally as much as the cost of demolition for that building may be, as costly as what it would cost the community to ante up its share to renovate the building. So to me, that maybe makes more sense to do that, to put the money into renovation. Plus, that particular program we're seeing has had tremendous impact on our graduation and dropout rates. Those are kids that have normally not done well in a traditional educational experience. And we've been able to retain those kids. We've been able to get them to the end and get them to graduate and have a chance at doing something productive with their lives and becoming, good citizens that really wouldn't cost the community that much. So I think that's important, and it's important to me to know that we're giving those kids a chance. And I think one of the most satisfying things to me being a board member is when I go to that Pacific High graduation in the spring and watch those, 8 or 10 kids walk across that floor in the community house and receive their diploma. Because I know those kids have struggled, and there's been a lot of people involved in supporting them and getting them to that end, and they've done that as well. And I really feel like if we didn't have that program and we didn't have a place for that program, we wouldn't be seeing the success that we have. Could we move it into the SEEK Center? We could if we absolutely have to. I don't know that in the long run that really is the best use of the facility. The facility is currently being used by a number of different programs. We would have to do some remodeling in that building to make that happen. So there's other ancillary costs that go along with that that in the long run I don't believe really make fiscal sense either. So we certainly support trying to get the building remodeled. It's a 65% of the cost of the project is covered by a grant from the state. It's a great opportunity for the community to do that. So our share is about 35%, which is a little over $900,000 that the community would would have to put forward. And that money, you know, will come from the original bond and sales tax system that's set up, and would extend that payoff date a little bit. But I believe Dave Wolf has said we're still going to pay those bonds off earlier than the 20-year projection. So it seems like a great deal to me and makes fiscal sense.
Thanks, Lon.
Yeah, you bet.